our sermon today. Father God, as we come before you this morning, we pray first off, Lord, that we would be able to set aside our cares and concerns of the day. We might give you our full attention. Father, as we look at our purpose this week, we see that you created us for your pleasure. And it is your pleasure for us to be your friends, to fellowship with you, to love you, to be with you, and all that that entails. So, Father, we seek to be with you now, in spirit and in truth. Lord, I pray for myself that your anointing empowerment would be upon me, that as I speak, as Steve earlier prayed, it would be your words, not mine. Lord, I pray for your blessing to touch each person here. And now, Lord, we all come before you, seeking to meet with you, not just our God and our Lord, but also our friend. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, purpose-driven life. We've been going through this, and last week we saw that we needed to clear our vision to see those things so we could see clearly what it is God has for us. This week, we see the first purpose that God has for us. See, we all are in relationship with God, one way or the other. The problem is that most of us are fighting with God. First slide. See, we're not... That's not what we're supposed to be doing. But we are quite often in combat with God. See, if we're not in obedience to God, we're fighting Him. See, we are either loving Him, and He says in His Word that if you love me, you will obey, or we are in battle with Him. It is indeed one of these situations where people say, well, you know, I love the Lord, but it's that we always got to slip that little word in there, three little letters that kind of get in the way. But. You see, the thing is, God is God. He is King, He is Lord, and He is above all. And the fact of the matter is, we really don't have much to say. Next slide. You see, the Ten Commandments weren't to be voted upon. That's why they're not amendments. They're not in the Constitution. They're commandments. It says here, God said to tell you, His law is not to be voted on. Just do it. That's supposed to be Moses coming down off the mountain, just in case. He didn't know. The problem that we have is that many of us, well, we don't want to just submit. Because submission, it's a bad word. Okay, it's been misused and misapplied. People say, you must submit, and they think, oh no, next. Submission, surrender. This is what they think of when they think of submission. You know, somebody's got a gun to my head, and I'm at their mercy, and they're going to treat me poorly. That I have been captured. Submission is, I have been taken over by the enemy. Like in a war. But that's just not the case. Submission isn't about, at least godly submission, isn't about, oh, you know, you got a gun to my head, so I'm going to raise my hand so you don't kill me. Submission is to be joyful. Next slide. Both slides you saw, they had their arms up. But there's a difference, isn't there? In the one, they were downcast. They were beaten. They were oppressed in their submission. But when we submit to God, that submission actually lifts us up and gives us freedom. It releases us. to a right relationship with God. What's that relationship supposed to be? What is our relationship with God? Are we supposed to be fighting? No. We are not supposed to be fighting God. What we are supposed to be is friends with God. Next slide. Friends. What do friends do? They spend time together. They relate to one another. They visit. They talk. They listen to each other. Friends, not enemies. Our scripture verse for today, and now I've got to ask you guys to jump to that one. Sorry about that. I kind of got out of order here. But our scripture verse today is from Romans chapter 10, or chapter 5, verse 10. And from the New Living Translation is where we're getting it from today. And it reads this way. For since we were restored to friendship with God by the death of His Son, while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by His life. See, we were His enemies. But we no longer are His enemies. We've been restored to a right relationship, that of friendship with God. Now, there's a unique thing about friendship with God. So I mentioned God is God. He is the Lord. He is the King of all creation. And when we're His friends, that doesn't make us equal with Him. He is still and always going to be God. And as such, He sometimes tests us. And we go through times where we feel like God is far away. He's not right close. Butch mentioned that for him, when he feels like he's distant from God, he'll seek after song. He'll go to worship the Lord in song. We can worship the Lord in so many ways. You can study Him, His Word. You can do works of service. You can, you name it, you can do it for God. In fact, everything we are supposed to do, we're supposed to live our lives as a very act of worship. When we surrendered and we obey, that is worship. That is love to God. God said, if you love me, you will obey my word. That's in the Gospel of John chapter 15. I think. 15 or 14. Anyhow. You know where it is. The Gospel of John tells us that. God tells us that. But He tells us also, He promises that He will never leave us alone. And that we can stand in His promises. But yet there are times in our lives where we feel alone. Next. We feel like a little child who's been left all alone. And God's not there. We're going, Lord, where are you? This was the experience of Job. He went through trials and tribulations. He felt like he'd been abandoned by God. David felt like he'd been abandoned by God. You go through the scriptures, you'll find that every man of God at one time or another felt like he'd been abandoned by God. But God told each of them, no, you were not abandoned. I was there. I was there. You just couldn't see me. You just couldn't feel me. But I never left you alone. God does that for our benefit. How many of you, as a child growing up, had to face a time where your parent, or had a time where your parents said, you know, you got to do that yourself. You got to go out just a little bit and spit. And as a parent, maybe you sent your child out and you said, okay, you got to do that. You got to do it on your own. Now, what the child doesn't realize is that the little child is going out doing this task that the parent has said to do. The parent is hiding behind the window shade, peeking out, making sure that everything's going okay. See, we need to do that. It helps us to grow. We need to learn to obey God and to worship God even when we don't have that experience of God's presence. It's not about feelings. Love is not about ushy-gushy feelings. Love is self-loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. Together now? No. I have told you that so many times. But it's true. Now, one of the things that the author of our book here that we read, been reading this week, Rick Warren, one of the statements that he made, I think he was quoting somebody else, is that when we worshiping God is not experience. It's not done only for the feeling, that tingly feeling. Now, I've gotten those tingly feelings. You know, I felt the closeness of God. But if all I'm doing is seeking after a sensation, then I'm seeking after the wrong thing. What I'm supposed to be seeking is God. Sometimes God's presence brings that sensation, sometimes not. For example, if you seek love through physical acts outside of marriage, that isn't love. Okay? They may be a bunch of things that people say it are, but that doesn't make you married to that person. It doesn't give you a healthy relationship with them. All you've had were the sensations, the feelings. But you didn't make that selfless, loyal, benevolent decision for that other person because you didn't do what was right for them or best for you. Instead, what God wants us to do is to, in those times when we're alone, again, back to the alone, in those times when we're feeling all by ourselves, remember that God's promise is that He will always be there. Okay, move forward too. He's our friend. He's going to share. He wants to share the glory and riches of His kingdom with us. And He comes down to our level and sent His Son Jesus to be there with us, to share His kingdom, the riches of His kingdom. See, Jesus died on the cross so that... Put the scripture verse back up there. I do like having this, but they want me to get a clicker. It says, since we were restored to friendship with God by the death of His Son, where we were still His enemies, we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by His life. You see, God loved us so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross so that our right relationship of friendship with God could be restored. See, God made us for His pleasure. And it's His pleasure that we be friends with Him. Let's pray. Father God, we do come before You today and we thank You and we bless You for Your friendship to us, because Your friendship isn't based upon the fact that we're always well behaved. Lord, sometimes we scream and yell and get mad, but with friends that's okay. Because we know that the love is still there. And that You will never abandon us. Even when you feel far away, You're right there and You always have Your eye upon us. Just like the parent watching the little child out the window. So, Father, we thank You for Your friendship. We thank You for Your love. And Lord, we ask right now that You would help us to show our love for You and our true friendship for You by being obedient to You, by worshiping You in all that we say and do, by having an attitude that is full of gratitude. And we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.